Try 15.
Putri titan mayataya parvo banedos tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi bhaktya vahinay aparada lakshay chiptasya kamadita rangamadye kripamayi tvam sharanam prapadyam brinde namaste charanaravindam tuvaivasmi najivamitam vina iti vigya radhetam nayamam charanantike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nichalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Astodhara Satishri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad Astodhara Satishri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So obeisances to everybody. And today we are discussing the third chapter of Sri Jiva Dharma by the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. First we will review in very brief yesterday's chapter. Sannyasi Thakur has now surrendered to his Gurudev, that is Prem Das Paramahamsa Babaji Maharaj, and he's inquiring from him that if the jiva is infinitesimal, how can his eternal nature be full and pure? Second question, you say, O Gurudev, that at the time of creation, at the time when the jiva is constituted, his eternal nature is there also. But if the jiva is eternal, how can there be any time for creation? So his Gurudev prayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take over all of his answers, and then he replied that the jiva is infinitesimal, but his nature is full. Although he is minute and infinitesimal, the love of God within him is unlimited, and he can unlimitedly give that love of God to an unlimited number of people. Then he explained that when the jiva forgets his true nature, he is covered by a subtle false ego and a gross false ego. The subtle false ego thinks, I am this body and everything in relation to this body is mine. And grossly, he's engaged in all kinds of sense gratification, like eating, drinking, merrymaking, movie-going, and so on. Then Prem Das Babaji explains that there's two kinds of dharmas. That is, or actually three. There's the Nitya Dharma, which is the eternal religion or function of the soul, and that is to love Krishna and always strive to serve him by means of spontaneous love. Then there's Naimitta, Naimittika, dharma, which is circumstantial. That is, those who follow this are, they recognize that their soul, and they recognize the Supreme Soul, but their relationship with him is, oh God, give me my daily bread. Then there's anitya dharma, which is just completely sinful, absorbed in sense gratification without any conception of the soul and the Supreme Soul and their relationship. Then Sannyasi Thakur inquires that I accept that this nitya dharma, the eternal function of the soul, is prem, and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are the highest. But I want to know, is the oneness of love between the soul and the Supreme Soul in Mahaprabhu's teachings the same as the oneness in the Advaitavad philosophy of Shankara, the Advaita Siddhi of oneness? So Premdas Babaji Maharaj explained that Shankaracharya himself is a manifestation of Lord Shiva. So his desire in giving Advaitavad philosophy is good. His desire was that because the people were previously Buddhists and totally nihilistic, no conception of the soul and super soul, no conception of Veda, so he wanted to bring them back to the Vedas. So he said, come to the Vedas, but I know you can't understand that God is a person, so, or that you're an individual person. So, okay, at least come back to the Vedas and understand that this world is false and temporary, false in the sense that it has nothing to do with the soul, and that the soul has a life beyond matter. But he was silent in the matter of what the activities of the soul are. He taught that in order to be liberated from matter and realize your impersonal nature, you have to worship Hari. So he figured rightly that by doing the Agyata Sukriti of worshiping Hari, even though their motive was not bhakti, the impressions on the heart by connection with Lord Hari, who is Krishna himself, would help them later in their bhakti when Vaishnava Acharyas would come to the world, like Ramanuja Acharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbaditya, and ultimately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The modern day followers of Shankaracharya distort his teachings. They didn't understand the intention of their guru, and they say that ultimately, yes, ultimately, there is a spirit, but that spirit is ultimately us, and we were that God who fell into Maya and became the individual jivas. And there is no separate God. There is no person God. There is no love between the soul and the super soul, because there is no individual soul, no individual form of God, no individual form of the Lord. His form is Maya. Prem Dharma is Maya. Individuality is Maya. And the only thing that's truth is the impersonal Brahman. Now, when he was explaining all this wonderful philosophy to Sannyasi Thakur, Sannyasi Thakur was so overwhelmed that he said, I believe everything you say, and I understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is superior to anything. So I want to change my dress and wear the Vaishnava dress. So Babaji Maharaj said, I'm not going to say anything about the dress now. Just continue to purify your heart. And when the time comes and your heart is purified and sufficiently connected with Prem Dharma, then automatically the Mayavad dress will disappear and the devotional dress will manifest itself. Then he told them to remember the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which is not to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, which is not to be falsely renounced, like a monkey. The monkey doesn't have opulent clothing, it doesn't eat opulent foods, it just eats bananas, and it lives in the forest, but because it's not really renounced, it not only jumps from one tree to another, but it jumps from one lady monkey to another. So Mahaprabhu told Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, if you, by sincerity, but not being ready, take to the renounced order life, of life now, later on you will go back into it. As we see in the case of chapter 3, in the case of Madhavadas Babaji, as we'll discuss later. So, Babaji Maharaj gave a very wonderful answer to Sannyasi Thakur's question about the relationship between creation and formation and the eternality of the soul. He said that actually the soul is never created, but we just use that word, and you can't really understand the word creation or eternal as long as you're in the bodily platform of life. So we encouraged him that you can understand things when you're actually on that platform. It takes one to know one, as the American expression says. Somebody once asked Srila Prabhupada, does it rain in Goloka Vrindavan? And Prabhupada said, if I tell you it rains, will you understand that it rains? No, because the rain there has nothing to do with the rain here. Srila Gurudev said, suppose I want to explain a rasagula to somebody who's never seen or to speak of tasted a rasagula. So I will explain it that, oh, a rasagula is round, it's small. We know it's like the shape of a ping pong ball and about the size of a ping pong ball. And, you know, it's like a sponge. And when you bite it, it explodes in your mouth and drips down both sides of your mouth. And it tastes like sort of a combination of honey and an apple. So if somebody has never had a rasagula, how will he be able to understand the rasagula? Although I myself have full realization of a rasagula. Yep, it's really yummy. At the same time, I cannot give my understanding to a person who's conditioned. He himself has to follow the process for realization, and then he can understand and taste. Srila Prabhupada said, suppose I try to explain to you a jackfruit, to anybody who hasn't had a jackfruit. Outside, it looks like a pressed-in volleyball or a punched-in basketball, and the skin is kind of like an alligator, and inside the consistency is kind of like a gooey egg, and it tastes really good. It tastes like a combination of honey, an apple, and a potato,
and chewing gum.
So it has kind of like little hairs on the outside, like a man who hasn't shaved in about 5 days. So, nobody who has not seen or tasted a jackfruit can understand the really wonderful nature of a jackfruit. It's so good. Similarly, Babaji Das, Sri Prem Das Babaji Mahasaya explained that the only way you can understand this is by your own realization, by feelingly chanting the holy name and developing taste, and then you'll get everything. So I hope you all learned your verse for yesterday, which is Dharmak Prochitikaitavotra Paramo Nimatsuranam Satam Vedyam Vastava Matravastu Shivadam Tapatrayonamulinam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimba Parayarishwara Sadhyo Hridyavarujite Tukutivi Shushu Shubhis Takshana. That the Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all pretentious dharma, because that was another one of
Sannyasi Thakur's questions, that I accept that Prem Dharma is the highest, but how do I view all other religions of the world? So Prem Das Babaji Maharaj explained that according to the other religions' freedom from pretentiousness and material desire, and according to their closeness to Prem Dharma of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Prem, to that degree, their practices and theory can be called Nitya Dharma, otherwise not. And Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out such pretentious religious systems. So now today we are on day 3, chapter 3. Now this is a very, very long chapter. It's at least 20 pages. So I hope we can cover everything. And the summary, just to outline today's class, even the outline is enormous. So we'll try to very briefly go over it. Sannyasi Thakur has a vision of the divine manifestation of Sri Mayapur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party. And he feels himself very low and fallen. And then we come to our verse today, one of our verses, which is probably you already know. Trinadapi sunichena turadapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And in that same mood of humility, he has now developed bhav. Yesterday, he was already reached ruchi for the holy name. He's advancing very quickly because of his past life's impressions. We still haven't heard from Brajanath Prabhu yet, a Gurudev's reply about how he could have been told or revealed, we're not sure about the translation, his swarup as Raman Manjari, and even ordered to do his duty of quieting the monkey in Radhakrishna's Nishanta Lila, and then how he doesn't understand these basic things. So hopefully we'll get that answer soon. In the meantime, now he's reached the stage of bhav very quickly, and now he automatically gave up his Mayavadi dress and adopted the dress of a Vaishnava. He got a new name, Vaishnava Das. All the Vaishnavas met him when they came to the Kunj, and they glorified him. And it so happened that one extra person was there in that meeting, and he asked a question that, how come you Vaishnavas don't accept the Brahmanas chanting of the Gayatri Mantra? This is such a high activity. It's Nitya Karma. Why do you Vaishnavas not accept it as supreme? So the Vaishnavas requested Prem Das Babaji to reply, and Prem Das Babaji requested Vaishnava Das, his new his disciple who's now newly in Bhava Bhakti. And for the next 15 pages or so, Vaishnava Das gives a very, very lovely explanation of the difference between Nitya Dharma and real Nitya Karma and the so-called Nitya Karma of the Brahmanas and the Naimittik Karmas of the Brahmanas and others. He explains very elaborately Varnashram Dharma. He explains very elaborately Vaidhi Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, Ragatmika Bhakti, and how the mundane Brahmana within Varnashram, but who has not become a Vaishnava, how his activities are not for the sole purpose of serving Sri Krishna in Braj. They're not Raganuga activities, they're Vaidhi activities. And so they're not considered the topmost activity by the Vaishnavas. And we'll explain further. And then at the end, yes, he surrenders. That devotee who asked the question, not quite a devotee yet, but now, by hearing from Vaishnava Das, his tendency towards Vaishnava Dharma was very much awakened, and he accepted Vaishnava Das as his guru, and he moved into the same kunj where Vaishnava Das and his Gurudev, Prem Das Babaji Maharaj, lived in the Madhavi groves with very beautiful vines and creepers and lovely flowering trees and tulsi plants. And ultimately, at the end of this chapter, this new devotee, whose name is Lahari Mahasaya, moved into one corner of their kunj. Excuse me. So now we'll begin the details, as much of the details as we can fit in, of this very long chapter. Okay, so the chapter opens in the secluded grove of Vaishnava Das. And all of a sudden, while he's chanting his rounds, sitting on a mound, a raised mound of earth in Godrum Dweep, all of a sudden, as he looks towards the north, he sees a great luster. And then, within that luster, he sees a divine manifestation across the river in Mayapur. For those of you who are familiar with Navadweep, you know that Godrum Dweep, the residence of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the residence of our great personalities in Jiva Dharma, that is Vaishnava Das and Prem Das Babaji Maharaj, they live in Godrum Dweep, which is just across the river from Mayapur. So when Sannyasi Thakur, or now Vaishnava Das, saw this, he thought, oh, how fortunate I am. I'm seeing the divine manifestation of Mayapur. Previously, I've seen Mayapur in the daytime by the mercy of my Gurudev, but I've never seen it in this divine way. There are so many very high jeweled palaces, so many ornamented temples, and the Ganga, the Jahnavi River, is so illuminated. He addressed Ganga as Jahnavi because Jahnavi is the daughter, you could say, of Jahnu Maharaj. When King Bhagirath was bringing the Ganges from the causal ocean to Navadweep in order to deliver his ancestors, when they reached Navadweep, Jahnu Maharaj took the Ganges into his mouth, the whole Ganges, and then, being prayed for by Bhagirath Maharaj, he made a cut in his thigh, and then the Ganges flowed out of his thigh and continued to swirl around Navadweep. And so she is also called Jahnavi. So then, Sannyasi Thakur, or rather now Vaishnava Das, is so overwhelmed by what he's seeing and hearing. He's seeing the Harinam Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's party resounding everywhere and piercing the sky. And he sees hundreds of Mahaprabhu's associates, like Narada. Narada Muni is playing his veena in ecstasy and chanting in great love. and he sees Lord Shiva playing his little Damaru drum and chanting, O Visvambar, please bestow your mercy upon me. Now Visvambar, as you know, is one of the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Visvambar means he who nourishes the universe. And that name was given to him by his grandfather. Visvambar is also the name of Lord Chaitanya in the Vaishnava Brahmana's Gayatri Mantra. And in that sense, it means he who nourishes the universe by manifesting the oneness in love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And Vaishnava Das saw Lord Shiva dancing wildly in his Tandava Nritya dance, dancing wildly, twirling and whirling, and fainting. He also saw Lord Brahma sitting amongst many great sages and reciting a verse which is one of the verses that is the praman or the evidence that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember about 9 years ago when we were on the Harikatha Festival in Australia with Srila Gurudev, he called on various devotees to give evidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. So here, he made everybody stand up and give evidence. So here, Lord Brahma is also giving evidence from the Svetasvatara Upanishad. I'll just read the English. That personality is undoubtedly Mahan, Supreme, and he is Prabhu, Master. He bestows the tendency for intelligence, and by his mercy a person can attain supremely pure and transcendental peace. That person, known as Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, is Purusha, the Supreme Person. He is Ishan, the Supreme Ruler. He is Jyotir Swarup, self-manifest and possessing illustrious effulgence, due to the golden splendor of his limbs. He is Avyaya, the imperishable Lord. And this verse is also given in the Mangalacharna of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vaishnava Das also saw Indra. You know Indra with all the eyes all over his body. We never saw him like this before, but Vaishnava Das saw him jumping in ecstasy and weeping, calling out, Jai Nityananda, Jai Gauranga. And Vaishnava Das also saw the birds of Navadvip calling out, Gaur Nitai, Gaur Nitai. He also saw the big bumblebees, and they were buzzing, but not buzzing any mundane buzz, but they were buzzing in the garden in great Gaura Ras, that is, they were tasting the mellows of Gaura Kirtan. And he also saw the goddess of the material nature, and she was also maddened. So anytime we're all in Maya, under the Prakriti, the material nature, we can pray to her that we know that you're actually a pure devotee. You're just doing this because I turned away from Krishna. Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Nadir Bahimuk. What is the rest? Oh, I forgot. Therefore, the Jiva who has turned from Krishna is now under the strict supervalence of Maya, who is giving him various miseries. So I can pray like that when Maya is attacking me. I can pray to Prakriti Devi that I know that you're really maddened in Gaur Prem, in Krishna Prem, but you're just doing your duty to bewilder me. So because Prakriti Devi was there in her full splendor as a devotee, Vaishnava Das saw all the magnificence of how she reveals herself to the devotee. And he called out, "Oh, how wonderful! I've never before seen anything like this. Oh, Gurudev, you have certainly given your mercy to me today." If any of you have the book, Sharanagati, the book of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, you know that there's not only two songs to Gurudev, as we have in our Gaudiya Gitikuch songbook, but there are four songs. And one of them that's not in our songbook, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying to Gurudev, "When will I get your mercy that when I chant the holy names, all my material conceptions will disappear and I will experience all the sattvika bhavs on my body?" In another, the fourth song to Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, "O Gurudev, when will I be the full object of your mercy? And by that mercy, I will see the Sankirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Shivas, and all their millions of associates. I'll hear their mridangas and kartals, and then all of a sudden, they'll disappear, and then I'll weep in a secluded place, and people will think that I'm mad." So, Vaishnava Das is feeling so fortunate, and he's become now so realized that having seen the tilak and the beautiful, brilliant necklace of tulsi beads on all the Vaishnavas in Mahaprabhu's party, he automatically threw away his sannyasi staff. He thought, "I'm going to be like that too." Convinced, he threw his sannyasi staff in the river and he immediately put on tilak and the dress of the Vaishnava, thinking, "I'm so fortunate to have gotten this sporti, or vision, of Mayapur." He fainted, and when he again revived his consciousness, he began to weep, thinking of his fortune. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes these things in his own trance in order to give us a desire to become like these Vaishnavas. Then, after throwing away everything and donning the Vaishnava dress, he came to his Gurudev and offered his full obeisances and said, "You have blessed me. You have blessed me, Gurudev." So his Gurudev, being so First he saw the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas came, actually, to Pradyumna Kunj to visit with Premdas Babaji. And now, Premdas Babaji has given him the name Vaishnava Das, because now he's really the servant of the Vaishnavas, and he has no other identity. And then, the other Vaishnavas came to visit with Premdas Babaji, and they were all chanting. And finally they saw Vaishnava Das, and when they saw him, they were so overwhelmed. "Is this the same sannyasi that we knew? Now he's so effulgent and he looks completely different." So they started glorifying him. And he himself was so embarrassed. He said, "I've taken this Vaishnava dress and tilak and kunti mala in order to get your mercy, but now I see that it's created an obstacle. How can I be humble? I have to be Trinadipi. I have to be lower than the straw on the street. But now, I see that all the Vaishnavas are offering obeisances to me. So he took shelter of his Gurudev and offered obeisances to his Gurudev with his head bowed. Now, Prem Das saw that his disciple had reached the stage of Bhava Bhakti. Yesterday, in the class yesterday, which was actually some days ago in real life, his disciple had come to the stage of Ruchi in chanting Harinam. And now in the same life, he came to the stage of Bhava Bhakti. So Prem Das Babaji embraced him and bathed him in his tears. And he said, "O Vaishnava Das, now I am successful. My life is successful because I'm touching a great Vaishnava like you." And then Vaishnava Das said, "Oh, now my life is successful. Now I'm free from all my false ego." By your mercy. Now, later in the afternoon, when the devotees had come to Pradyumna Kunj and they all were hearing Harikatha and praying and calling out for the mercy of Mahaprabhu and his associates, Vaishnava Das rolled at their feet and begged for their mercy. And they also begged for his mercy. And they quoted one verse in appreciation of him. Bhakti stu bhagavata bhakti sangena parijayate satsanga prapyate punbir sukritai purvasanchitai. They're telling him that it's after many, many births that we did great austerities in relation to bhakti, and we performed many spiritual pious activities. And now we have the fortune, as a result of those spiritual pious activities, those sanskars and sukritis, now we have the fortune of your association. And by your association, we'll be able to get bhakti. And Vaishnava Das replied, "Oh, by your all mercy, I'm now freed from the vanity of my birth as a Brahmin, and my arrogance in all my learning, and stature as a sannyasi." He told his whole story about how he was in Kasi, and he was a Mayavadi sannyasi, and he was never happy, and finally he went to Vrindavan after seeing a Vaishnava chant in ecstasy, and then how he came to Navadvip, and how he took shelter of Prem Das Babaji. He said, "Now I realize that I'm just a destitute jiva struggling in samsara. And I pray to all of you for your mercy." So it just so happened that there was a new person in their midst. And this person had come with one of the Vaishnavas. He was living he was living in a room of one Vaishnava, and that Vaishnava took him to see the devotees. This person was a landlord, big zamindar landlord. He was very knowledgeable in the Arabic language and Farsi, just like Sanatana Goswami. And he was very friendly with Islamic royalty. And he was an expert social coordinator and expert in political strategies. And so he was very puffed up by his big position. For many years he had that position, but ultimately it didn't bring him happiness. So gradually he started chanting in Sankirtan, but not like a devotee. Since his childhood, he had studied Indian classical music, so he sang just like a typical professional Indian classical musician, with so many, as Gurudev would say, Hare Krishna. So you don't even know what you're chanting. There's so much alap and descending and ascending notes that you don't even know what you're chanting. So his chanting, although very materially beautiful, it wasn't at all pleasing to the Vaishnavas. He used to show off when he was chanting with the Vaishnavas. He was their leader, but they didn't like the way he sang. He was one of the Sankirtan leaders, Kirtaniyas rather. And after every time he sang, at the end of the singing, he would look at everybody for their appreciation. So Gurudev explained that this is not kirtan. If you're singing and then looking for appreciation for your melody, your sweet voice, this is not kirtan. Even if somebody has a very gruff voice, raspy voice, and even if he doesn't have a very good tune, but if he's chanting with devotion, then his kirtan is really kirtan. And Gurudev said to all the devotees, who's a real kirtan singer? Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he's the real kirtan singer. And Sukadeva Goswami, he wasn't singing the song, but he was singing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And because his singing, just like our Prabhupada's singing, was full of tears and melted heart, therefore that is the real kirtan. So gradually, in the association of the Vaishnavas, this person, Brahmana, he started to like the Sankirtan, and he moved to Godrumdweep in order to continue with the Sankirtan. He moved into the ashram of a devotee, and this devotee took him to Pradyumna Kunj to hear Harikatha from Prem Das Babaji Maharaj. Now the devotees, he saw all these humble exchanges between Vaishnava Das and the other Vaishnavas and Prem Das Babaji, and seeing all the humble exchanges, he didn't become humble himself, but rather he couldn't relate to it at all. And he just got puffed up and remembered his old doubts. So he brought up his doubts. And he said that everybody knows, he said this in an arrogant way, I'd like to say something here. Everybody knows that the Brahmanas are the highest caste. And the Shastras say that the Brahmana is the highest caste. And one of the highest duties of the Brahmana is Sandhya Vandana. That is the chanting of the Gayatri mantras. Vaishnavas also do that. But still, this Brahmana said, why are the Vaishnavas opposed? Vaishnavas are not opposed, but they're just opposed to the mentality of these brahmanas, materialistic brahmanas. So when this brahmana arrogantly accused the Vaishnavas of being opposed to the brahmanas' sandhya vandana, that is, sandhya means the tree sandhya. There are three sandhyas in the day. Sandhya means the time of connection, linking between night and day, morning and afternoon, and then day and night. And these are very auspicious times for chanting the Gayatri Mantra. So the Vaishnavas, hearing his accusative question, they really never feel like just answering somebody for the sake of argument, because they don't like to get embroiled in bitter arguments and debates, because it's just aggravating and it's distracting to bhajan. But because this person was sometimes chanting in Sankirtan, and because he was brought by the Vaishnava, they decided to answer his question. And the Vaishnava said, "We'll be very happy to reply your question, and we request that our eminent Premdas Paramahamsa Babaji Maharaj will reply you." And Premdas Babaji Maharaj said, "I'm requesting that my disciple Vaishnavadas will answer it." So Vaishnavadas felt himself very fortunate to receive this order from his Gurudev. And first he expressed very honestly and humbly, "I'm very wretched and insignificant, and I'm certainly not qualified to speak in this very exalted assembly. But since my practice is to take the order of my Gurudev upon my head, and since I've been ordered by him to speak, and because I've drunk regularly the nectarine juice of his Harikatha, I will try to share what I've learned from him." And then Vaishnavadas proceeded to take the dust from the lotus feet of his Gurudev and smear that all over his body. So even if we don't have our Gurudev or our Prabhupada physically in front of us, whenever we speak or share Harikatha, we can mentally touch their lotus feet and then mentally smear their dust all over our body. This means that I'm humbling myself and not claiming that any of this knowledge is mine. But if I do say anything right, it's their knowledge and their mercy. And therefore, all the fruits of my speaking, if somebody gives me praise, if somebody becomes my follower, if somebody gives me money, all this is given to Gurudev, because I realize that it's not my knowledge. It's my Gurudev's knowledge. It's my Gurudev's knowledge and not my knowledge for two reasons. One, because I haven't realized it, so therefore it's not my knowledge. The only thing I've realized is that I'm this body and everything in relation to this body is mine. The knowledge comes from my Gurudev. So those are the two reasons. So when this Brahmana was saying that all the scriptures say that the Brahmana is the highest class and that the Gayatri Mantra is so high, so why do the Vaishnavas oppose this activity of the Brahmanas? He was referring to the Manu Samhitas and other Dharma Shastras. So when Vaishnava Das began, he said that the Manu Samhita and these other Dharma Shastras are very much respected by all Vaishnavas, because anyone who's in the conditioned life without rules and regulations of the Shastra, without being regulated by Shastra, then one is simply only living an animal life. Now, human nature that's not animalistic has two tendencies in relation to religious principles. One tendency is called Vaidhi Bhakti, and the other tendency is called Raganuga Bhakti. Now, for somebody who's in Maya, who thinks that sense gratification is the ultimate goal of life, then he must follow rules and regulations. And therefore, the Shastras have kindly arranged for the establishment of Bhaiti Bhakti. Then, when somebody is liberated from Maya, he also follows his own set of rules and regulations, but they're not there's no need for him to follow them in order to remain established above sense gratification. He selects only those rules and regulations which are favorable to his spontaneous urge and thirst for prema bhakti. Now, Raghunuga Bhakti, as explained by Vaishnava Das, is the real nature of the jiva. It's not the real ultimate nature of the jiva. The real ultimate nature of the jiva is Ragatmika Bhakti. So Ragatmika Bhakti is the natural, unlimited, and unquenchable thirst of the liberated associates of Krishna in Vrindavan to please Krishna. And the word rag itself means saturation, absorption to the point of complete saturation. So ragatmika means that in one's atma, he has this, he's completely saturated with thoughts of Krishna, and he has an unquenchable thirst to be with Krishna in pure service. Just like if you take a white cloth and you dunk it in a red dye, and then you pull it out, and you wring it out, and then it's kind of sort of red, but not fully. And then you dunk it in again, squeeze it out again, and it's more red. And you keep doing that until the color of the cloth is exactly the same as the color of the liquid dye. That is called full saturation. So one who is fully absorbed to the point of full saturation in thoughts of Krishna, with an unquenchable thirst to be with him in service and please him, that is called Ragatmika, the Ragatmika associates of Krishna. Now, those devotees who have, particularly those who have achieved the stage of their Swarup Siddhi, or those who have achieved the stage of Bhava Bhakti, they can really be called Raghunuga Bhaktas. They have three states of consciousness: internal consciousness, halfway internal external consciousness, and external consciousness. Srila Gurudev explained this in his old Vilapakus Manjali classes of the early 90s. In internal consciousness, their internally conceived form is associating with Radha and Krishna, and that devotee is engaged in his siddha form in the service of Srimati Radhika. This is for those who are not only Raghunuga but Rupanuga. And the similar thing can be applied to those who are Raghunuga, but not Rupanuga. So that's the internal consciousness. And the devotee is fully happy, and he completely loses conception that I am Raghunath Das Goswami or Rupa Goswami or Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And they're fully immersed in I am so-and-so Manjari. Now, at some point, that situation vanishes, and the devotee is now in halfway internal, halfway external consciousness. He's not in external consciousness. He's not aware that I am Raghunath Das Goswami. But he's simply rolling on the ground and weeping. He's remembering what he lost and totally, fully hankering for that. And he, at that time, cannot function in the external world. Then there's the external consciousness, Bahir Dasha, where he knows, I am Raghunath Das Goswami, I am Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he can function, he can write, he can speak, but at the same time, he's fully absorbed in separation for that service, that internal service. So, one who has reached the Swarup City stage, he is called the Raghunuga Bhakta. He's transcendental to dull matter. So it's the nature of the jiva who's not situated in Himvastu city. Naturally, he'll be a Raghunuga Bhakta in Bhava Bhakti. This is natural for him. He doesn't need that, oh, I have to get up in the morning, I have to put on my tilak, I have to do Mangal Artik. But everything he's doing spontaneously. He'll do Mangal Artik, no problem. But his Mangal Artik is different. In his Mangal Artik, he's actually seeing that, oh, Lalita is doing Arti, and I am watching. Or he's doing Artik by his eyes, and the lamp is his eyes. Eyes of love. And the water is the tears of love streaming from his eyes. So he has his own set of regulations that are spontaneous and from the heart and in the wake of those who are Raghamika Bhaktas. Before one is blessed by Krishna's will, at which point Bhava Bhakti descends, and before one gets the mercy of the Raghatmika Bhakta, who's in this world in the form of Sri Guru as a Raghunuga Bhakta, where that Bhav Bhakti descends from the heart of the Raghatmika Bhakta into the heart of the disciple, before that time, one gradually makes advancement to the point of Swarup Siddhi or Bhava Bhakti. Then later on, that Bhava Bhakta engages in the activities of Raghunuga Bhakti, spontaneous bhajan and chanting and weeping. He also reads, he also speaks, but it's all in spontaneous love. And by that, he very quickly attains Vastu Siddhi, or the platform of the Raghatmika Bhakta. This is all explained in another place by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatana Goswami in the 23rd chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Vaishnavdas is explaining that this stage of Raghunuga Bhakti should be ardently sought after by the jivas. And without being situated on this Raghunuga Bhakti, one is attracted to matter. And this is called Nisarga. Do you remember in chapter 1, Prem Das Babaji Maharaj was speaking about the Nitya Dharma, the eternal nature of the soul, which is Prem Dharma. And then, by coming in contact with Maya, our eternal nature becomes distorted. And by long association with that distorted nature, we begin to think that it's our eternal nature. This is called nisarga, or the distorted nature, like water is by nature liquid. But when it comes in contact with a freezer in the refrigerator, then its nature is distorted. And it becomes like ice. And if you throw that ice at somebody, you can hurt somebody. So we have so many hurtful natures in this world. Even sweetness is hurtful when it's in relation to sense gratification, because then it encourages everybody else around them to be engaged in sense gratification. You may see in the airplanes, when you're traveling in an airplane, how sweetly the hostesses come around with the plates of meat and their big smiles. So all natures of matter are all distorted. And that is called nisarga. One thinks, I and mine. And they think that to enjoy things for sense gratification is my natural state. Therefore, if I can't get what I want, it's natural for me to get angry. It's natural for me to hate somebody. So attachment to people and things that are satisfying to my sense gratification, and aversion to people and things that are against my sense gratification. And what develops after that? The conception of friend and enemy. Prahlad Maharaj was sent by his father to his teachers because he, according to his father, he foolishly sided with the enemy and told his father to worship Vishnu. So his teachers were trying to deprogram him, and they said, "Oh, Prahlad, where did you get this foolish stuff about our enemy, Vishnu?" So when Prahlad heard this, he said, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I heard that in the material world, there's a conception of friend and enemy. And now, I see that it's really here. My goodness." Then he said, "Friend and enemy, this is called politics. And anyone who has the conception of friend and enemy, and who is thus a politician, can never ascertain the presence of the Supersoul within his heart." In the purport to these verses by Prahlad, our Srila Prabhupada wrote that one should think of all living entities as his Prabhu. So, this love and hate is all coming from the avoidance of Raganuga Bhakti. Very interesting. And this love and hate, everything is numbered. There's so many numbers in Vaishnava Dharma, Vaishnava Tattva. Now, there are three kinds of love and hate. There's love and hate on the basis of the body and things in relation to the body. There's also love and hate in relation to my conception of society and social ideas. And then there's love and hate according to my, whatever my material conception of life is, my bodily conception of life, in relation to morality and ethics. Like, for example, if I'm a what's that one that bombed the building in New York? Now, what's that religion called?
9/11.
Huh? Not 9/11. What's the name of the religion? What do they call themselves? What religion is that? I forgot. Muslims? Okay. So the Muslims think that it's ethical and moral and religious to bomb the New York...
It's not the religion. It's a few people that distort.
No, they think.
But not the Muslims in general.
It's not Muslim religion,
yeah.
But it's those people... who are in the bodily conception.
Terrorists.
Who have their moral, so-called moral and ethical principle to bomb a building and kill 5,000 people and be willing to actually kill themselves in the same time by making their airplane go into the building. Is that what they did? Because they think this is their idea of morality and ethics and religion. So according to the individual's conception and aversion towards Krishna consciousness, he has these three different ways to have love and hate. And thus, because of these three different ways of love and hate, he's engaged in the struggle for material existence, the illusory struggle for material existence. Now, Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice analogy about a bird who walked up to the mirror. And the bird looked at himself in the mirror, and he thought that he was another bird. So he thought, "Who does this guy think he is staring at me in that way?" And he pecked at the other bird, but really he was pecking at the glass. So naturally, the bird in the mirror pecked back just as hard. "Who the heck does he think he is pecking at me like that?" So he pecked even harder. And naturally, the bird in the mirror pecked harder. And he kept pecking harder and harder until he just smashed the mirror and died. So Prabhupada said that this is the illusory struggle against the material nature of love and hate. Now, there's so much, Achyuta Krishna Prabhu, there's so much more to this, and it's already 10 o'clock. I'm asking you what to do. Should I very quickly go through it? Or should we make the second half of this chapter tomorrow? It's up to you. I'll do either one.
I think you should do the second half tomorrow, because chapter 4 probably may not be that thick.
Chapter 4 is what?
We can do the second half of this chapter tomorrow.
Okay. Because that was a lot already. Okay, we can do that.
And the remainder will do tomorrow.
Okay. Or maybe we can even cover it in the 10 minutes. Let's see. So, Vaishnava Das is explaining that although it's stated that the brahmanas are engaged in nitya karma, and their nitya karma is their regular and regulated recitation of the Gayatri mantras and other regular activities that they do daily. Vaishnava Das explained that this is not really nitya karma. Nitya karma, there's perverted nitya karma in the material world, because everything in the material world is a perverted reflection of the real Nitya Dharma, which is Prem Dharma, Vaishnava Dharma, or Ragatmika activities. So, real Nitya Karma, or the karma means activity, real Nitya Karma is the same as Nitya Dharma. So when Nitya Karma is explained in relation to the Brahmanas, who are not Vaishnavas, but who are simply the highest rung of the Varnashram, which is also not a spiritual institution, but an institution created by the Lord in order to come to the spiritual platform, in order to establish the human beings beyond animalism. Krishna created Varnashram Dharma. And Vaishnava Das very elaborately explains what are all the activities of the various members of the Vaishnava Dharma, the highest one being the Brahmins. This is to make the human beings go beyond animal life, so they have a certain set of rules and regulations and social interactions. But without Vaishnava Dharma, Varnashram Dharma is only to either just to be happy in the world by peaceful social dealings, or to please the Lord and the demigods so that they will be pleased to give them material peace and prosperity by their performance of material religious activities. This is part of the elaborate discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rai Ramananda in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Rai Ramananda Sambad in the Madhulila. When Rai Ramananda offered Varnashram Dharma as the perfection of life, the sadhya, the perfection of life, Mahaprabhu said, no, this is external. It's in relation to the body, that everyone should offer respect for their, to their parents, the wife should be chaste to her husband, everyone should respect the brahmanas and sannyasis. Varnashram Dharma is only to give the people the opportunity to come in contact with real Vaishnava Dharma by coming in contact with real Vaishnavas. For example, one of the rules of Varnashram is that you should respect the brahmana. You should respect the sannyasi. So if this sannyasi, and you should welcome him in your home and give him something to eat and hear from him. So if this brahmana or sannyasi happens to be a Vaishnava and they've already been trained in this proper etiquette, so they'll hear from that pure devotee and make advancement in spiritual life. So Vaishnava Das very elaborately discusses the point for point. He discusses the, not so elaborately, point for point. He discusses the activities of the brahmanas, that is, all varnas and ashramas of humanity have higher and lower natures. And he's quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnava Das, quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, that all the varnas and ashramas, varnas means Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, and ashramas means Brahmacharis, householders, Varnaprasthas, and Sannyasis, the social divisions and the occupational divisions. I know this is a lot, so if any of you are new devotees, please excuse me. Our Srila Prabhupada used to spend days and days with us just talking about each one of these varnas and each one of these ashramas. So, the varnas and ashramas of humanity have higher and lower natures in accordance with the higher and lower places on the Lord's universal body. That is, the head of the universal body is the brahmanas, the arms of the kshatriyas, the belly is the vaishyas, and the legs of the sudras. And all the divisions of society work together to make the body work in harmony. Then he gives the activities of the brahmanas. The natural qualities of the brahmanas are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity, cleanliness, satisfaction, forbearance, simplicity, devotion to Krishna or Vishnu or any of the incarnations, compassion for the suffering of others, truthfulness, and the activities of the kshatriyas, prowess, strength, fortitude, heroism, tolerance, generosity, great perseverance, steadiness, devotion to the brahmanas. See, the brahmanas are the head. So the kshatriyas, who are the rulers of society, they are obedient to the head. They are the arms and they are obedient to the head. Just like in one's body, the arms are obedient to the head. So the natural qualities of the vaishyas are theism, dedication to charity, freedom from pride, service to brahmins, and they accumulate wealth. So again, the brahmins, they worship, they honor the brahmins. But their particular service is agriculture, trade, industry. And then the sudras, they're also good. They're, they don't know how to lead in any way, but they engage in sincere service to the demigods and the brahmanas and the cows, and they're satisfied with whatever they get from the higher castes in serving them. And then There are those who are outside the Varnashram Institute, and they are atheistic, they're demoniac, they're low, they are dishonest, they're unclean, they're thieves, they don't have any faith in Vedic Dharma, they don't have any belief in the next life, they're always engaged in futile activities, quarrel, lust, anger, and greed for material objects. So Vaishnava Dharma is explaining that there's no question of Nitya Dharma in Varnashram. But there's no real Nitya Karma in the sense that Nitya Karma is the same as Nitya Dharma. So when it talks about Nitya Karma being the activities of the Brahmana when they engage in their activities of saying their Gayatri Mantra, actually the word Nitya is only used in relation to not being naimittik, that is, not being occasional. That is, there are occasional karmic activities, like it's not every day that my relative is going to die and that I should perform the Shraddha ceremony so that my relative can not go to hell but be elevated to heavenly planets. But it's every day that I'm going to say the Gayatri Mantra. So in that sense, that is called Nitya Karma, because it's regular, it's daily activities. I say my mantras every day. And there's occasional or naimittik karma, which is occasional. And then there's activities which are against good karma, and that is just against any Vedic injunctions. There's two kinds of Vedic injunctions. There's paramartic or transcendental Vedic injunctions for elevation to bhakti, and then there's lokic Vedic injunctions, which are for material elevation to higher planets and piety so that later on one can come to bhakti. For example, when Lord Ram was at the house of Agastya Rishi, at the hermitage of Agastya Rishi, he saw that that there was a celestial airplane that came from heaven and dropped down right near him. And a celestial being got out of the airplane and walked over to a dead corpse and started eating it. And then he went back to his airplane. Mm-hmm. So Ramchandra asked Agastya Rishi, "What is that?" So Agastya Rishi explained that in the Vedas it says that if you don't properly worship your superiors, then even if you go to heaven, you have to come back and eat your dead body. And that's what happened. So Ramchandra said, "Oh, now that I can see that it's good that I'm following the, that I'm strictly adhering to my promise to my father that I should go to the forest for 12 years. So there's Lokic and Paramarta injunctions of the Vedas. And they're both ultimately meant for satisfying the Lord. But Vaishnava Das is saying that actually when the Brahmanas, who are not Vaishnavas, say their Gayatri mantras, it's not meant for satisfying the Lord. It's meant so that they can fulfill some material desires. Even though they're saying it with thinking about the demigods or thinking about God, their real desire is to fulfill their sense gratification. And I'll read now what Vaishnava Das says about that on page 46. He says, "Nitya karma is karma that produces auspiciousness for the body, mind, and society, and which results in promotion to other planets, heavenly planets after death. So everyone is obligated to perform Nitya karma, such as chanting the Brahma Gayatri Mantra at the three junctions of the day, offering prayers, using honest means to maintain one's body in society, behaving truthfully, and caring for one's family members and dependents. Then naimittic karma is karma that one must carry out under certain circumstances, for example, the Shraddha rites after the mother or father or some relative dies in order to atone for their sins. So, he's explaining that these activities of the brahmanas, the sandhya vandana, because they're not for the purpose of attaining ragatmika bhakti, they're not the natural activities of the jiva, which is the thirst for attaining pure devotion, because these activities are not raganuga bhakti, nor are they even paramarthic or transcendental vaidhi bhakti, which is performed for the attainment of spiritual life. It's lokik, and therefore the Vaishnavas have nothing to do with it, and they seem to be opposed to those activities. So when this brahmana heard all the things that Vaishnava Das was saying, he really liked it. Vaishnava Das also was explaining what is a Vaishnava. There's a Vaishnava is, where am I? A Vaishnava is one who, in his pure state, is the only friend of all jivas. He's the only one that can take the jivas out of their miseries. There are various kinds of Vaishnavas, those who are still in the bodily conception of life and are trying to get out by execution of the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti, and then gradually that Vaishnava will come to Bhava Bhakti, where he can engage in pure Raganuga Bhakti, and then he becomes a Ragatmika Bhakta, or Ragatmika associate of the Lord, at which time he becomes the only friend for all jivas. So when all the Vaishnavas heard Vaishnava Das speak in this way, they were so happy. And Vaishnava Das offered his obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and said, "Please excuse me if I've said anything wrong, if I've made any faults in my presentation. Whatever I've said is by the mercy of Guru and the Vaishnavas, and anything that I've said wrong, please forgive me for that. So then, and please give me your blessings also." And all the Vaishnavas said, "Sadhu, sadhu, well done, well done, excellent. All blessings to you, all blessings to you." And all the Vaishnavas were in tears at the beautiful presentation of Vaishnava Das. And then that Brahmin singer, he also was so happy to hear the explanation. Because of his Sukritis of being attracted to the Harinam Sankirtan singing, even though his motive was not a good motive, because he was singing in the association of the Vaishnavas, he got good Sukritis and sanskars. So now that he was hearing from Vaishnava Das, he was so happy. There were still some lingering doubts, but the seed of faith in Vaishnava Dharma and Vaishnava truths, Vaishnava philosophy, began to be nourished in his heart. And this is called Shraddha. The seed, when the seed of bhakti, the bhakti lata bij, is put in the heart, this is called Shraddha, the tendency to serve Krishna instead of Maya, which is externally manifest as faith in the words of Guru, Vaishnavas, Shastra, and Krishna. So this Brahmana's name is Lahari Mahasaya. And he said, "Oh, I am not a Vaishnava, but I'm becoming a Vaishnava by the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan and by your association. So please instruct me. And then Prem Das Paramahamsa Babaji Maharaj said, my request to you is that you associate from time to time with Vaishnava Das. As you can see, he's a great scholar. And then he told, Prem Das told in very brief the story of Vaishnava Das, how he was previously a Mayavadi sannyasi in Kasi, and how he saw a Vaishnava chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, and stumbling and dancing in ecstasy, tears flowing from his eyes, hair standing on end, and how Vaishnava Das gradually became a Vaishnava, came to Navadvip, took shelter, and now has love for the holy name. So this Brahmana, whose name is Kalidas Lahari, he accepted the words of Prem Das Babaji to take Vaishnava Das as his guru. He offered his obeisances to Vaishnava Das and he begged for his mercy. He said, please bestow your mercy on me. So Vaishnava offered his obeisances to Kalidas Lahari. And he said, now I'm successful, my life is successful, because if you give me your mercy. So we can see that guru is not an ordinary thing. He saw the sincerity of his disciple, and so he's actually feeling very humble. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, said, I'm lower than the worm in the stool. I'm lower than Jagai and Madhai. And he actually felt like that. So Achyuta Krishna Prabhu, should we end? We just have a drop more, but should we continue that tomorrow? It's already 25 after 10, yeah, my time. Okay, so tomorrow we'll see the wonderful things that happened to Kalidas Lahari, who then becomes Lahari Mahasaya. We see the wonderful transformation in him tomorrow, and we'll also discuss and hopefully complete chapter 4. And now we'll take one or two questions.
If you to unmute.
What?
I'm telling you the devotees on the phone to unmute using 4.
Okay.
That's 4. Any questions, please?
Dhanavad Prabhu. Anuga means to follow. So the Raganuga Bhakta does not yet have pure rag in his heart for Krishna. That is, when one has complete absorption in Krishna, then he's an associate of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The Raganuga Bhakta is not at that stage yet. He's at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. And he sometimes has visions of his internal Swarup and his internal Swarup's service. He may get visions. Raghunath Das Goswami sometimes gets visions that I am Rati Manjari, and now I am serving Radharani, and now I'm joking around with Krishna, and now Radharani put her foot in my head. And then all of a sudden, that pastime will disappear, and he'll start weeping. That is, he's living in this material world in his sadhak form. But internally, now and then he is experiencing his pastimes of service with Radha and Krishna. And sometimes he's feeling separation from that. There's still a slight obstacle in his being an associate of Goloka Vrindavan. When he matures in Bhava Bhakti, when he reaches the mature stage of Bhava Bhakti, then he takes birth in the planet, in the planet of any universe where Sri Krishna is having his pastimes. And he takes birth in the womb of a gopi, and then he's born as a gopi or a gopa, and he associates with the Nitya Siddhas, who are associates, who are Agatmika associates of the Lord, and he gradually gets trained up to serve his Ishtadeva. In Rupa Nuga Bhajan, his Ishtadevi is Srimati Radhika. So he takes birth, when he reaches the mature stage of Bhav in Raganuga, he takes birth on the planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes in any universe, and he gets trained up by the Nitya Siddha gopis. At that point, that's the beginning of his Vastu Siddhi, or is having his full spiritual body. Okay? It's a gradual thing to understand it factually. But does that make it more clear? Ragatmika is the highest. Mother Yasoda, Radharani, Lalita, Rupa Manjari, Nanda Maharaj, Subal, they are all Ragatmika Bhaktas. Yes, that's true, but I think it's best to discuss it tomorrow at the beginning, because it's elaborate. Although I can say very quickly now that all Rupa Nuga Bhaktas are Raga Nugas, but not all Raga Nuga Bhaktas are Rupa Nuga. This is explained very elaborately in Gurudev's new book called Gauravani Pracharane, where Srila Gurudev explains in several lectures Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Gauravani Pracharane. And for a whole chapter, Gurudev is explaining the difference between Raganuga and Rupanuga. And Gurudev said every Western devotee, that includes Indians too, every devotee should... He meant English speaking, because the book is in English. In English speaking devotees should read this book, Gauravani Pracharane, and you'll understand the deep significance of how Srila Prabhupada is a Rupa Nuga Bhakta, and he came to give Rupa Nuga Bhakti. So Rupa Nuga is Rupa Goswami, and in Rupa Goswami's gopi form, he is Rupa Manjari. So the Rupanuga are those who are following fully Rupa Goswami and his activities in this world, and Rupa Manjari and her activities in the spiritual world by his internally conceived spiritual body. And Ragamika applies to anybody, those who are following Mother Yasoda, those who are following Subal Sakha. But those who are particularly following Rupa Manjari, they are Rupanugas. So all Rupanugas are Raganugas, because they fit within the category of following any Ragatmika. But not all Raganugas are Rupanugas, because they're not all following Rupa Manjari. Some are following the coward boys, some are following Mother Yasoda, like that. Okay? So we'll end here today, and we'll see you all tomorrow.